is. Tyler kept on fighting to live his dreams even when he was homeless and sleeping in his automobile. Because he never gave up, the winds of fate changed in his favor, and he has since sold millions of theater and movie tickets to fans of his beloved Madea persona and the characters in his many other film and theatrical productions. That's the kind of fight that's worth your energy. The fighting spirit in you that says, I will, is the tenacity you need to dig in deeper when friends and loved ones are looking at you and snickering because it seems like you've just been following a pipe dream for years. You've got another plan to make it big. You've started another diet. You've started dating someone new. Meanwhile, the people around you are saying, uh-oh, here we go again. Ignore them and keep fighting because you are headed to a place they cannot see. Stop expecting them to understand why you are willing to hold on and not let go. As they laugh or cluck their tongues, strengthen yourself to dig your heels in deeper. Don't tell them your dreams. Sarcasm and doubt from other people can weaken your staying power. If you listen to enough of their vitriol, you will start to believe that you really are stupid for hanging on when there seems to be no reason. Any person who has achieved success arrived at a pivotal point when he or she had to decide to keep going despite failures, despite negative future forecasts, despite haters who couldn't understand what it means to be focused on destiny. There's a critical point that every successful person reaches when they say, I'm going to stay right here and make this work or die trying. Storms, struggles, battles, and destiny. Storms and struggles can have a definite positive result on us because as discombobulating as they are, life's challenges can make us stronger to fulfill our destiny. But you can't live in fight mode. Living that way is unhealthy and counterproductive. There's a reason soldiers are given leave time for rest and relaxation. Fighting keeps you strong, but all of life is not about storms and battles. People who live in fight mode can die early from strokes or heart attacks because of constant stress on the body. There are times when you need to take off your armor and let your spirit be at peace. Develop habits that can release you from fight mode and give your mind and body a much-needed break. Yoga, meditation, or a brisk walk are just a few ways you can take care of yourself and ensure that you will live to fight another day. In a professional boxing match, the two opponents fight for 3-minute rounds. They then retreat to their respective corners for 60 seconds of respite, encouragement, and strategizing. The fighter must take a quick break so he can get back up and fight again. In the corner, the fighter's team is tending to his wounds, nurturing him, telling him where he's vulnerable, and affirming his stronger points. Can you imagine how truly brutal a professional boxing match would be if the two opponents fought for a full 36 minutes with no break in the competition? Prior to the mid-18th century, there were no rules for boxers, and many died in the ring. The first rules for boxing, known as the Broughton Rules, were established by champion Jack Broughton to protect fighters. He realized that rules were needed so that boxers could live to fight another day. Establish personal rules for taking care of yourself. There will be more storms to endure on the way to destiny. There will be more battles to fight. After you have seen your way through a storm, take some time for yourself and your family. Take time to celebrate that the storm has passed without worrying about when the next one will come. That will come soon enough. Times of calm are times to appreciate the victory or soothe the wounds of defeat. Getting out of fight mode gives you time to plan and strategize, taking your steps to the next level. It's the time to thank your spouse or your family for being your support system in the storm. It's the time to be in touch with yourself and remind yourself that you are a human being and not a human doing. Chapter 6. For Destiny's Sake, do you. Take steps toward authentic self-identity. Destiny is the ultimate expression of doing you, fully being yourself, making your own choices. No one else can do what you do. Other people may have your talent, but they don't have your twist. Doing you yields the ultimate in life satisfaction because it means engaging every fiber of your being into your destiny. If you're bored with life, it's probably because you're not doing you. How could you possibly be bored if you are doing what the Creator put you on this earth to accomplish? If you're sarcastic and negative about life, you're not doing you. There's no way to have a negative view of life if you have engaged your best self to complete the task God designed for you. God created sun, moon, stars, and seasons. Surely there is something in this vast universe that would interest you if you were on your authentic path to destiny. It should be exciting to think about doing you. How could you not be excited about the fact that God created you? If you're not doing you, you're like a racehorse that has never been put on the track. You're a 350-horsepower engine that's stored in a garage collecting dust. Allow destiny to reveal what you are truly made of by discovering what it means to do you. You'd like to get to know you. Know thyself is an aphorism that originated among the ancient Greeks. Ascribed on the temple of Apollo at Delphi, the maxim figures prominently in Greek literature, especially the writings of the philosopher Plato and his teacher Socrates. It is from Plato's writings that we learn Socrates' quote, "The unexamined life is not worth living." The pursuit of our life's destiny is how we discover who we really are. It is in the pursuit of destiny that you discover what a fascinating person you are. You discover that you are an amazing and unique creation of God. As you get to know yourself, you find out some things you want to change, but you will also discover some things you like. Self-discovery can be a deeply rewarding life process as you learn to embrace truths that others told you about yourself and release the lies that beat down your self-esteem. You may learn that Aunt Kay was right when she said you had a knack for getting at the real issue in a conflict. Maybe destiny is calling you to be a mediator, a negotiator, an attorney, or a judge. You may also discover that some hurtful words said about you were untrue. The parent who called you dumb or the teacher who said you didn't have the aptitude to go to college. Get to know you. Knowing you may mean discovering that while everyone thought you were moody and cranky, you're really an introvert who just needs a little time away from people to regenerate your internal energy. Or maybe you're an extrovert who was accused of having ants in your pants because you couldn't seem to keep still. You crave the connection with other human beings. Getting to know who you really are means you equip yourself to take care of you in the ways that help you become your best self. When you get to know you, your likes and dislikes, your passions and your plans, your motivators and your downers become evident. Knowing you means you simultaneously learn what it takes to inspire you to destiny. It's a disclosure that happens quickly for some and more slowly for others. Some people move toward destiny like shooting stars, while others are late bloomers, but it is a lifelong unfolding. Some seem to be born knowing who they are and what they are destined to contribute, while others stumble from one life post to another, trying to figure out what they want to be when they grow up. Some people overcome incredible odds and pass through hell and high water to meet up with destiny. Others are given every economic, educational, and social advantage, yet slip into an abyss of unproductivity. It all comes down to one thing, know thyself. People who grew up in poverty may have to learn who they are apart from an environment filled with street corner drug deals, substandard housing, high incarceration rates, high teen pregnancy rates, and low expectations. If you grew up this way, your environment may tell you that you are destined to sell drugs, but actually you love to write science fiction. Get in touch with the real you so that you can see your higher self and realize your ability to distance from the negative realities of a dysfunctional upbringing. If you grew up poor, take time to get to know your higher self, the one who has destiny that does not include incarceration, drugs, and unplanned pregnancy. Distinguish your true self from the environment where you grew up. You have to know yourself to live the authentic life that destiny offers you. Otherwise, you can have outward success and not fully experience the fruit of your accomplishments. You can be a self-made millionaire who runs a company and wears $1,000 suits, but still see yourself as that little girl who was made fun of at school for wearing thrift store clothes. You may still be living like the little boy whose parents never had money to give him for extracurricular activities at school. You were never to be defined by those circumstances. That was where you lived, not who you are. You can graduate at the top of your class at Harvard, yet still doubt whether you are successful because your father never affirmed or encouraged your accomplishments. No matter what kind of upbringing or past experiences you had, you can benefit from distinguishing your past from your authentic self. You can learn from it and distance yourself from it in a healthy way. You may have been raised by parents who held conservative religious or political values that you do not share. Acknowledge the positive values they gave you and then embrace the values that represent you, that support you, and that help steer you toward destiny. You can't deny where you came from, but you can learn from it, grow from it, and build upon it to take you higher. How we were raised, where we went to school, and our socioeconomic experiences have a tremendous impact on us. Along the road of destiny, you have to give yourself reality checks so the you that you know catches up to the you that you have become. J.K. Rowling, author of the phenomenally successful Harry Potter series, was once clinically depressed and living on welfare in Scotland. She shared in an interview with Oprah Winfrey that she was still striving to know herself. It had been many years since she fought to scrape together sustenance for her and her child, but the struggling single mother she knew so well still held the power to overtake the billionaire author she has become. She recalled trying to finish the last Potter book in the series of seven. Children, family pets, and service workers had taken over the household and were breaking her concentration. At that point, she connected with her new truth that she could afford to travel anywhere she wanted to and complete the book. In her early years, she did her writing in local cafes, mostly because they were warmer than her cold apartment and sitting there didn't cost her any money. The single mother had to catch up to the billionaire to realize that she could afford to pay for a hotel as long as she needed one. Her mind told her she still needed to watch every penny. Know thyself doesn't apply only in moving from poverty to wealth. A person who grows up wealthy may be inflexible in situations where humility is their requisite for elevation to destiny. The person who has always had financial abundance to address a problem may not be aware that there are some places money cannot take you and some situations that money cannot buy you into or out of. Wealth can lure you into a sense of entitlement that may hinder the arrival of destiny, which cannot be bought. Destiny can take you to places where money is insufficient to give you entrance. Put that down. It's not yours anyway. When you take the time to get to know yourself, you don't run the risk of living someone else's dream. Self-knowledge will allow you to appreciate and admire someone else's dream and cheer them on to destiny as it unfolds for them. Knowing thyself means you can celebrate with your coworker who just got a promotion at the company where you're simply passing through. The promotion is their dream, not yours. But if you don't know yourself, you might become jealous, confused, or angry, asking, why did Amanda get the promotion? I've got more education than her and a broader skill set, too. What difference does it make? That's not your dream, it's your coworkers. If you're working for a while at a retail chain, be happy that Greg got promoted to management. You may be smarter, more educated, and have more experience too, but if retail management is not your destiny, giving you a promotion there would only make you and everyone around you miserable. What works for someone else simply won't work for you. Do the work required for your own life and stay away from other people's dreams. Don't be jealous or insecure about other people's accomplishments. God has an abundant storehouse of blessings for you as the God-destined life for you unfolds. Knowing thyself means you can be happy for your BFF when she gets married, even while you wait for your Mr. Right. Knowing you means you can be genuinely happy for the person who earns another degree, moves into their dream house, or buys that head turner of a sports car. Destiny is smart, and she doesn't make mistakes. You can try all you want to live someone else's destiny, but it just won't fit. You'll never flow in what you do by living someone else's dream, and it will never feed your soul. It doesn't matter how good it looks if you get the dream job and all the perks that go along with it. If you get the eye candy woman on your arm, or the Nobel Prize, or the scholarship to Harvard, or the home in a gated community. If something isn't a part of your destiny, it cannot bring you fulfillment. Have you ever known someone who seemed to have everything, yet they never look happy? I mean everything. A man can wear expensive tailored suits, live in the city's most desirable neighborhood, and have a beautiful family of Rhodes Scholars who've never caused their parents a day's trouble. Those are all wonderful accomplishments for which anyone should be grateful. But if that man is not living destiny, there's a big hole someplace. The big hole is why your next-door neighbor can be driving a Mercedes to a job she despises and start hating on you as you happily drive an old pickup truck to make deliveries for your own business. When you live your own dream, you don't have time to be a hater. You can't even think like a hater because all of that negative energy will just bring you down. You need all of your energy for destiny. Don't waste it on someone else. When you are fulfilled in pursuit of destiny, you're good, and you want everyone else to be good with themselves, too. If you know thyself, you'll be better equipped to identify and extract your authentic needs from what you've been told you need. A consumer who knows thyself will be able to distinguish an authentic need from a conditioned need and bypass the latest new product release if the one she has is adequate for her needs. When you are in touch with your own pursuit of destiny, you seek the things which you need to accomplish what you desire. That's not to the exclusion of wants. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not asking you to consider a life of only basic needs. I do not want to see you living in agony surrounded by accoutrements that weigh you down rather than build you up. Invest in doing you. Are you trying to harvest an opulent life from a dollar store investment in yourself? Destiny cannot be tricked by cheap imitations. When I had written my first book, I carried the manuscript from publisher to publisher, and no one seemed remotely interested. Just when I was about to trash the idea of being an author, an unusual opportunity was presented to me. The publisher said, "We will publish the book, but I would have to pay for the publishing. I would have to self-publish. It would cost me $15,000. My wife and I discussed it. We had the money, but it was all the money we had been saving for a house. After much prayer, we took the plunge and invested the money into the book. That book was Woman Thou Art Loosed. It remains my highest-selling book. It has sold millions of copies and continues to bring life and hope to people today. But my literary life would never have seen the light of day if I hadn't been willing to invest in my own dream. Incidentally, though we had to put the house on hold for a while, we soon were blessed to purchase a much better one than what we'd expected to buy initially. While it is true that Destiny is a compulsive flirt, don't ever allow her flirtations to make you think that she is promiscuous. Those who have been with her will tell you she doesn't come cheap. You've got to show her that you are serious. Invest in doing you and don't have a cheap attack. Don't get the least amount of training, the least amount of education, or the least amount of skill. You can't give the least amount of effort and expect to find your way to destiny. Go to the best school your finances and grades allow. Study hard and earn the best grades you're capable of getting. Take time to learn all you can about your job, even the things you think don't matter. Build a vast store of experiences that will develop a well-roundedness in you that will expand your possibility for maximum living. Investing in you requires sacrifice, your sacrifice. No one else can make certain sacrifices for you. Parents may sacrifice to pay for your education, but no one else but you can give up the fun times to put time in for studying. Everyone has a life and a calling to experience, and no one else can make your dreams come true. It's not up to your parents, your spouse, your children, or your boss to make your life what you desire. They can all lend a hand and be your cheerleaders, but they can't make it happen for you. Don't be a cheapskate. You and your dream are worth the price of admission into destiny. If you don't invest in you, you'll soon find that no one else will either. In fact, others may shy away from you if they feel you expect them to make your dream happen off their backs. Most people can tell when you're serious about what you want from life. They can tell if you're serious about being an actor, serious about being a software developer, serious about being a daycare owner. As people watch you make sacrifices to invest in yourself, they will want to invest in your dream too. When you are busily engaged in personal investment, God sends people from out of nowhere to support you, encourage you, and invest in your dream. You may not even be aware that they're watching you, but they will show up and amaze you. Investing in yourself requires determination, the kind that knows destiny is worth never giving up. The determination you have to invest in you says that even if no one else believes in you, you do. Even if no one else can see what's inside you, you do. Be determined to invest in you despite delays, setbacks, sidetracks, and turnarounds. Your personal investment requires commitment. Hang in there with destiny, even when it isn't looking good for you. Popular or unpopular, appreciated or not, encouraged or not, understood or not, hold on to destiny and don't let it go. Take a vow and declare your commitment to destiny's unfolding in your life. Personal investment requires exposure. Destiny will take you to new heights, and you need to be ready. Put yourself in new and perhaps uncomfortable or intimidating environments. Invest in yourself by giving yourself new lessons in culture, history, art, theater, religion, geography, or whatever you need to expand your horizon. You need tenacity to secure your investment in you. Pursuing destiny is not for wimps. You can't back down or cower away. You may be terrified when you're presented with some situation, but stick to investing in you despite your fears, and you will overcome them. You play the lead role in your destiny. Value you. Imagine the world without you. Realize just how priceless you are. Think about the people whose lives you've touched, the things that would be different had you never lived. Your children would never have been born. The sibling you helped might never have gotten to college. Value the contribution of your life and the role that you still can play, a lead role. You play the lead role in your life. The mission that no one else can accomplish is yours. The task that no one else can complete is yours. The steps that no one else can navigate are yours to ascend. No one else can take your place. I was just a boy when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in 1968, but I recall that many were speculating about who would take his place. Names were circulated and some tried to position themselves for the role, but he was irreplaceable. Dr. King had a destiny that he fulfilled. No one could step into his shoes as the voice of the civil rights movement. Like Dr. King or any other person we deem great, you are irreplaceable. No one can take your place to fulfill your destiny. This is your life. No rehearsals, no retakes, no delete button. Understanding that you have been chosen to play the lead role in your life is a critical destiny step. Chapter 7. Maybe it's time for a reset. Change your step to get in step with your destiny. Do you have any idea who you have the capacity to become? If you were not bound by the confines of your mind, who might you become? What fields of endeavor might you pursue if you didn't believe that you were limited, too unattractive, too ordinary, too broke, too tall, too fat, too short, too uneducated, too unpolished, or too whatever? What could possibly stop you from reaching out to destiny? The human brain has about 1 million sensory receptors that manage the data that comes into our minds. Sometimes the receptors are skewed by negative experiences, socialization, or other destiny blockers, and what we see in ourselves is not real. What's going on in your head can seem more real to you than what actually exists. Singer-songwriter Ray Charles described his ability to hear and compose music in his head. Having gone blind as a boy, Charles's auditory abilities had become highly developed and sensitized. Brother Ray said that when he heard a tune in his head, he didn't need a piano to compose it because every part of the song was already completed in his head. The human mind is a powerful processing machine. At best, that process is imagination and genius propelling us to new worlds. At worst, the distortion of the mind are mental illness. The mind can make you believe people are following you when no one is around. The mind can cause you to walk and carry yourself like you're Miss America when in reality your looks and your physique are rather ordinary. It's usually a good thing when our minds can propel us beyond our present reality. Most people you and I admire probably found their purpose and calling by resisting the innate tendency to acquiesce to the circumstances around them. They may have been born poor but refused to be doomed by environmental conditions. Who would have imagined that a blind girl like Helen Keller would end up being a world-famous teacher? Or think of the many veterans who came home handicapped but refused to allow their physical limitations to enslave them. Instead, with tenacity and perseverance, these brave men and women rose up to lead impressive lives. Renowned journalist Bob Schaefer told me most of his greatest accomplishments occurred after he turned 65. He admonished me not to allow age to deter my move forward. Destiny has no expiration date. A woman was lamenting to her friend that she'd never finished college. I wish I'd stuck with it then, but it's too late. The friend asked, "What's stopping you?" The woman sighed, "It's going to take me 6 years because I can only go part-time. I'm 48 now. By the time I finish, I'd be 54 years old." The friend paused for a moment and then replied, "Well, how old will you be in 6 years if you don't go to college?" When you know you have not gone as far as destiny wants to take you, age is little more than a number. Many who have great accomplishments saw that person they became in themselves before they actually grew to be that person. They saw the actor before they ever stood in front of a camera. They saw the entertainer long before they stood on stage. They saw the preacher when there was no congregation. The business owner showed up before the articles of incorporation. The teacher showed up in their mind before they walked through the classroom doors. The vision of motherhood appeared before the baby was conceived. The mind also can give you a negative, distorted image of self. People who battle with anorexia think that they are overweight when they are literally skin and bones. I've met people who were incredibly talented, but who could not see themselves as they really are. Their minds told them that they were inadequate or limited. Your mind is so strong and powerful, it can help you to overcome incredible obstacles and position you to become what you envision. Take the chain off your brain. Have you considered whether your mind is open and free to explore the path that God has set for you? Or are you going through life like your brain is chained, locking in creativity and ideas? Free your mind and you will create a mental and spiritual environment for greatness. Examine yourself. Know what you believe. Know your ideas. Know what you stand for. And know what has shaped your beliefs and ideas. Consider your family upbringing and what you were taught to believe. You may need to take the chain off your brain to develop your own thought and belief system. Your family may have prejudices or biases that you don't hold. But if you're walking around with the family chain on your brain, you may have restricted yourself to a narrow environment without room for people who think differently, who will position you toward destiny. Take the chain off your brain and develop new associations. Build new friendships. Think new thoughts. Who you were raised to be will always have a significant impact on your life, but does not have to determine your life and certainly doesn't have to restrict your life. If you grew up with brothers and sisters, the dynamics of the household while you were growing up may shape each child differently. An alcoholic parent can raise identical twins. When they grow up to adulthood, one becomes an alcoholic. Why? He might say, because I was raised by an alcoholic. The other twin is an absolute teetotaler. Why? He too might say, because I was raised by an alcoholic. Whatever you have been through, whether heavenly or horrific, it will serve a meaningful purpose in your life if you allow it to. The pain you have been through, the losses, the humiliation, and the betrayal are all stepping stones to a higher place in destiny if you are willing to take the chain off your brain. My father's dream was for one of his sons to take over the family business. I understand why that was important to him. My dream would be for one of my children to take over what I had established also. But I learned from my own upbringing that forcing children to be a version of you for family continuity is not wise. My father had invested a great deal of himself into building a viable business that could support his progeny for generations. He wanted me to run a janitorial service. Many years later, my brother wanted me to join him in forming a windows and siding company, which I tried for a while and failed at miserably. If I had lived up to their expectations, it would have been at the expense of my own purpose and destiny. There is no doubt in my mind that both my dad and my brother were really trying to help me, but good intentions don't indicate right directions. I was destined to be a communicator in various forms like ministry, film, books, and television. Do you have the courage to take the chain off your brain even when the person who put it there is someone you love and who loves you? In spite of that love, they accidentally incarcerated your creativity. But prison is prison, whether intended or not. Think about how you were reared. Whether by a mother who worked as a waitress and could barely pay the rent in the trailer park where you lived, or whether you grew up like the Huxtable family of The Cosby Show, the popular television comedy of the 80s and 90s. All of what you have experienced plays a role in destiny, even the situations and people you must choose to leave behind in order to arrive there. How to reset. Think of your mind like a computer that occasionally has to be reset in order to perform optimally. When you reset an electronic device, it goes back to a default setting, but the default settings have to be changed for the device to get a new normal that yields optimal performance. Likewise, sometimes your perceptions of how the world operates have to change to give you a fresh perspective on your circumstances. All of your experiences shape you into a unique person whom God can use to improve your life and someone else's as you step into your destiny. And the experiences that influence us most are life's default settings. A child growing up in an abusive household can have a mental default set to victim. If he's not intentional about changing, he will respond as a victim even though he's now in an adult situation. A child is deeply affected by growing up in poverty, and in adulthood, when dealing in financial matters, is overly cautious with money or excessive in her spending. A man whose first wife left him for another man has a distrustful default setting in his future relationships. Without a reset, he will be unable to trust the woman in his life and may always be suspicious that she will cheat on him. Sometimes entire families are caught in a dysfunctional default setting of relating to each other. Generation after generation falls into this cyclical trap, and only a determined few make it out. No matter how many of your family members may be caught in a destructive cycle, you can decide to change and pursue your destiny. The only way to get off welfare is to change your default setting. The only way to get off drugs, to get out of a life of ignorance or violence, a life of mediocrity, or a life of depravity, none of these is your God-appointed destiny, is to change your default setting. Life's default settings are not necessarily negative. Our defaults can encourage positive behavior in us, too. When you regard yourself positively with high self-esteem, your default says that you are not the kind of person who cheats others, who abuses your spouse, who disrespects your elders, or who blows your rent money on a weekend in the Bahamas. Your default settings tell you, I'm better than that, and steer you away from negative behavior. Don't reset good mental programming and mess yourself up. Examine your thinking, your values, and your self-perception to get in touch with your current default and determine if it is time for an adjustment. Your default will show you whether you are actively engaged in doing you. If you don't consciously know what doing you means, you may be acting solely out of your default. Get to know you so that your actions are purposeful and deliberate toward destiny. Here are 5 simple ways you can hit the reset button to reach your destiny. 1. Social reset. It may be time to reset some of your associations. That doesn't always mean dropping old friends as much as it may mean widening your repertoire of associates. Fresh contacts, fresh ideas, and fresh conversations all come from new associates. You will gain from resetting your relationship priorities. 2. Spiritual reset. It may be time to deepen your spiritual roots, change your spiritual influence. Just because you are religious doesn't mean that you don't need to update your faith intake. Feeding your spirit is much like gassing up for a long trip. Spirituality is the gas that gets you to destiny. If you aren't whole inwardly, you are not fully able to optimize opportunities. Your gift could carry you where your character won't keep you. In the late 1980s, a brilliant financier named Michael Milken was indicted on racketeering and securities fraud charges. Milken was sentenced to 10 years in prison, fined $600 million. And was permanently barred from the securities industry by the Securities and Exchange Commission. At that time in his life, Milken had the gift for making money, but not the character. After serving 2 years in prison and surviving a bout with prostate cancer, Milken took a different direction. He is still gifted at making money and is listed among the top 500 richest people in the world. He established a family foundation and has devoted a significant amount of his time and fortune to helping others. 3. Physical reset. It takes strength to live in your destiny. If you're tired, lack energy, can't maintain the pace of champions, maybe your lifestyle is unhealthy. Train to triumph. This may be the time to reset how you feed the body you need to perform for you when the opportunities come. Though the most important thing is how you feel, how you look does affect the way people perceive you and relate to you. People take note when your skin does not look healthy because of a poor diet. They watch you move with greater difficulty after you've gained weight. When you look your best, you feel better about yourself, and it shows in the way you walk and the way you present yourself to the world each day. 4. Emotional reset. Manage the emotions that historically have managed you. Not falling easy prey to emotional slumps and pitfalls is critical to living your destiny. Unresolved and untreated emotional disease is widespread. If you need counseling, get it. If you need courage to get therapy, find it. But don't allow unhealthy emotions to go unchecked. 5. Relax to reset. If you live in a high-stress environment, as I do, you need to know how to take care of you for the long haul. Downtime isn't a waste of time. Rest is as different from laziness as strategy is from manipulation. Rest rejuvenates while laziness deteriorates. Your body cells need rest to rebuild themselves and fortify you for another day of challenges. Finding ways to distance from your norm and detox is important. It doesn't require an expensive vacation. Find ways to rest your body and mind from day-to-day stress. A walk in the park, a visit to Aunt Sadie's, a weekend camping trip, or even a night at the movies can be highly restorative. Stay strong in the struggle. We've become familiar with the concept of reset largely through our use of electronic devices. Resetting a mobile phone or tablet is usually as quick and simple as pushing a button. It's not so easy to reset a life. Some of us encounter great difficulty trying to reset our lives to steer us properly toward destiny. The transformation process can be overwhelming. If we're not careful, we can be overtaken by the constant wave of challenges to our efforts to turn our lives around. A high percentage of drownings occur in shallow water among experienced swimmers. It seems like it would be simple enough to just stand up in shallow water if you're about to drown. But an amazing number of people drown each year from a condition known as shallow water blackout. It seems strange that you could drown in shallow water, especially after you have survived the deep. It is incongruent to think that you can be overtaken in something you could master. An experienced swimmer doesn't expect to drown in shallow water. After we hit a life reset button, things begin to change, some for the better and some seemingly for the worse. Imagine that your life is a song that you dance to. Then you decide to change the music. That means you have to change how you dance and move. You may not always be able to quickly adjust your steps to match the new beat. Sometimes our problems don't arise from the circumstances we predicted, the people we imagined, or the places we calculated. No matter how much you try to plan for trouble, you can never predict how long you will have to do battle or how hard. Most people know that skirmishes are just part of life's journey, but that doesn't make the trip any easier. It's a great challenge to hold on to your strength during those hard times. You can wrestle with challenges for so long to reach your dreams that you begin to wonder if destiny is worth what you're having to endure. You feel like giving up, not because the goal isn't worth fighting for. You're just tired of wrangling with problems and issues. Nevertheless, day after day, you scramble on, hoping finally to catch a glimpse of that light at the end of destiny's tunnel. The struggle may go on much, much longer than you could ever imagine. By the time you get to the end of the fight, you can barely hold on. You wonder if you're crazy for holding on. You've been battling so long that you're worn out. You hope for a stroke of luck. You pray for a bit of divine favor. You look for encouragement and search for compassion and understanding. But mostly, you look for relief. When you're deep in battle, what you need is strength to keep going, even when it looks like nothing is going to happen. The toughest times are not at the beginning of a struggle. The beginning of a battle catches you fresh. You're vibrant and energized. You're cocked and ready for a fight. You adopt a bring-it-on attitude, knowing you can win. You're able to put all your energy into the fight because you're determined to beat whatever confronts you. And you can do it in the beginning. When you find out an extramarital affair is tearing up your marriage, you're ready to fight. You're determined to hold on to your spouse and your family. You're dangerous even when you hit a rough spot in your small business. You're ready to fight to save the company you worked so hard to build. You're willing to go to the mat. But what do you do when the struggle seems to have more tenacity than you? How do you stay strong against what seems stronger than you? How do you keep the mental, emotional, physical stamina to wrestle with fate until it swings favorably in your direction? When you are closest to the shore, it's when you're closest to collapsing. Florence Chadwick was a champion swimmer. In 1952, she attempted to swim a span of the peaceful Pacific Ocean between California's Catalina Island and the state coastline. As she began the 26-mile journey, she was accompanied by small boats of supporters who watched for sharks and were prepared to help Florence if she got hurt or grew tired. Thick fog rolled in after about 15 hours of swimming. Florence recalled that after already having spent so many hours navigating the waters with her body, she began to doubt her ability. She didn't think she could make it, but she kept going. She swam for another hour before asking to be pulled out physically and emotionally exhausted. She was tired, and in her mind, the California coastline felt like it was a million miles away. After she got into the boat, she learned she had stopped less than a mile short of her destination. She couldn't see the shoreline, and the journey began to feel impossible. All I could see was the fog. She would tell the news reporters the next day, "I think if I could have seen the shore, I would have made it." When it seems like we are so far away from our destination, we want to quit. That's the time to dig in our heels and keep on in the struggle. Don't get into the boat and stop short of your intended destination. You likely are closer than you could ever imagine. Keep seeing the destination in your mind so it will give you the strength to relentlessly move toward it, despite the tiredness, despite the aches, despite the feeling of wanting to give up. 2 months after Florence's failed attempt, she tried again to swim from California coastline to Catalina Island. During the journey, the same thick fog set in, but this time she succeeded in reaching the shore. This time she knew she had to keep her destination in sight. The second time, Florence was victorious because she kept a mental image of the shoreline in her mind as she swam. She didn't forget where she was going, and it gave her the strength to keep on until she reached her destination. When you are in the struggle, keep your destination in sight. If your goal is a better life for your children, take a moment to watch them as they sleep peacefully during the night because they trust you to take care of them. If your goal is physical fitness, keep that image of yourself in good health and at goal body weight. Look at old photos of yourself and know that you can be at your goal weight. If it's the corner office at the company, take a photo and post it where you will look at it often. Keep your destination in sight and keep going. You may be closer than you think. You're aching, but keep going. Even though you're bruised and feel beaten up, keep going. You may feel like you're slowly shutting down, but find the strength to keep going. Never give up. Your next attempt may be the one that takes you over the top on your way to destiny. Your next business presentation may get you that multi-million-dollar contract. Your attendance at the next social function that you hate going to may be the place where you meet your spouse. Your next job interview may be the one where you hear you're hired. You will make it through the storm. There are all kinds of storms: physical, financial, emotional, relational, vocational, familial, and the like. Your whirlwind doesn't care that the rest of your life must go on. Emotional, mental, financial, professional, physical, or spiritual blizzards may come in and may almost succeed in overtaking your life as they attempt to take you down for the count. A cyclone of suffering may move in and attack your health, not caring that you are the sole provider for your household. A hurricane of trouble can overcome your home and make you feel like you're filming an episode of Teenagers Gone Wild. Life has all types of disturbances that we have to struggle to overcome. The toughest storms are those that other people can't see. Undetectable monsoons of distress make people think you haven't been through anything because you get up every morning, take a shower, comb your hair, dress well, and go about your business with a smile that you put on just like your outfit. That's a secret storm. Married people go through secret storms. They may be holding hands in public, but at home they argue constantly. A business owner may drive a nice car and live in a great home and yet be on the verge of filing for bankruptcy to give her a chance to reorganize the company. While people are celebrating the accomplishments they can see, you may be battling a quiet hurricane they can't see, and you strive with all your might to uphold the image. Maintaining a certain public persona is important. There's nothing wrong with that. It's reasonable for us to protect our best selves in public. You present your best self to the world, and frankly, there are times when it may be detrimental for people to know the struggles you're going through. A real estate broker needs to look prosperous, even if he's having a tough time in the market. Most people would be skeptical to contract a realtor who pulls up in a hoopty to take them to a showing. Image is important. But trying to maintain that image can break you down if you're in a storm and you don't know how to stay strong. We value our reputation and our name. We want to fit in with a certain group of people, whatever group that is, a professional group, a social group, a financial group, a religious group, or even a community group. We want our peers and our public to think that everything is going well and that there are no problems. We can continue to show that self until real calamity hits. As a pastor, I've been at the nadir of people's lives when things got so tough they could no longer show only their public face. When real trouble comes, no one has time for a mask or a facade. There's a level of transparency I've been able to witness in people from presidents to paupers because I've been called into counsel at the most challenging times in their lives. I've counseled some people as they fell apart privately while letting outsiders believe that all was well. A secret storm is a terrible kind of hell on earth. When you go through a visible storm, someone will hand you an umbrella or assist you because they are aware of your suffering. But if no one knows you're in trouble, they assume that how you look on the outside is how you're feeling on the inside. Secret storms are the internal traumas you endure when someone is jealous of the car you're driving, not realizing that you're 2 months behind on the payments. You won't announce to everyone that you're struggling to pay the note, so you deal with your anxiety as a private storm. Or the coworkers who are envious of your job promotion don't realize you're under so much pressure in the new position that you can't even sleep at night. So you come to work each day and put on your game face, never revealing the truth about your restless nights. If this is my God-given destiny, why am I battling through all these storms? Don't take a life storm as the absence of God. When people are in a storm, they tend to wonder, where is God? They think if God were with them, they wouldn't be in a storm and things would go smoothly. The family would not be in turmoil. Bill collectors wouldn't be calling. They ask questions like, how can God be with me and I have